In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Hi, it is time for TMZ.
Hey, it's time.
It's time.
It's time for TMZ.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to TMZ. I'm your host, Travis Patton Sr. I enjoy discovering and sharing real-life moments of inspiration from everyday people. And this show is about finding moments of inspiration for our everyday lives. And look, and if you're going to tell me something, then tell me something good.
Hi, everybody! Welcome to an all-new episode of TMG. I'm your host, Travis Patton Sr. Hey, guys, man, look, real quick, don't forget to visit, subscribe, and share, and like our YouTube page. Let's tell me something good with a capital T. And as always, I want to give a huge shout out to my biggest supporter, my biggest fan, my lovely wife, who we just celebrated our 14th wedding anniversary, Nicole. Hey, girl, how you doing? I know you're watching. I know you're listening. Man, I say this each time, but I could not wait for Thursday to get here, all because I knew you would show up. I knew each and every one of you would be here today. Let me take this time to tell everybody thank you. And if this is your very first time tuning in, your very first time hearing my voice, let me give you a very special thank you. And whether you are listening in Portugal, or in Spain, or in France, or in Canada, or in Kazakhstan, or maybe you're listening in Japan, or Mexico, or South Africa, wherever you are around this world, let me take this time to tell you I appreciate you. Now, for all my faithful listeners who've been listening ever since we've been streaming, let me tell you guys something. You are amazing. Thank you so much for helping this show grow and become as great and worldwide as it already is. Thank you, everybody. Today's episode, guys, is going to be nothing short of unforgettable and something that you can share with your friends and your families no matter where you might be. So thank you, everybody, for joining. Guys, listen. This month, May, the month of May is Mental Health Awareness Month, guys. And we're going to continue to dive into some of that information, guys. But before we do, guys, listen, if you've been watching the show and listening and following, everybody knows that this show is all about finding moments of inspiration in our everyday lives. So if you have an inspiring story that you'd like to share and come on the show, drop me an email at tellmesomething21@gmail.com. That's tellmesomething21@gmail.com. And to me, Travis, listen, man, I know somebody, my cousin, my aunt, my friend, my next door neighbor, my coworker, they have a story that I know that your audience would love to hear. Guys, send me their information, tellmesomething21@gmail.com. And guess what? You can send it, and you can even remain anonymous if you like. So there you go. Guys, listen, I'm going to go ahead and play our sponsorship information. Get that out the way. And listen, go ahead and engage with our sponsors, guys. The information we're below in the chat. Let me go ahead and play that information, guys. What you do, we coming back, because this is going to be good. Don't go nowhere.
Walmart,
I told you I'm coming
is
back.
A proud associate sponsor of TMG Tell Me Something Good podcast. Please use the special link, bit.ly/tellmesomethinggood, and visit our sponsor. Remember, I may earn a commission when you buy through this link. Fanatics is the place to go for all of your officially licensed sports gear from your favorite sports and sports teams. Use the special link bit.ly/tellmesomething21 and pay a visit to our sponsor today. Remember, I may earn a commission when you buy through this link.
Breaking your phone sucks. Breaking your phone, then trying to sell it online sucks. Breaking your phone, selling it online, only to find out that the money you'll only get for it sucks. Breaking your phone, selling it online for peanuts, shipping it, and finding out that you got scammed sucks. Gizmogo makes selling your phone fast, safe, and simple by paying you the highest price for your device. And with Gizmogo's free unlimited shipping and price guarantee, millions of people are starting to sell on Gizmogo. Fast, safe, simple. Gizmogo, the best way to sell tech.
There it is right there, guys. Please visit one of our affiliate sponsors, guys. The information is right there below in the chat. And if you're not watching this right now on social media, guys, you can go back and watch it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, and Pandora Music, guys, and so many more. And, guys, I know you're wondering right now, what in the world are you going to talk about tonight, Travis? Guys, if you did not catch it, today's episode is entitled Outspoken. Yeah, outspoken. And before I dive into this, guys, and I know you're wondering where we're going to go with this, I want to go to put up a short video that's going to help kind of, you know, caramelize what we're talking about today, guys, about being outspoken. Let me go ahead and put that video up here real quick. There it is, right there. A person standing up and speaking with a megaphone in their hand. Yeah, he's just standing there speaking through his megaphone and just doing what he does best, being outspoken. Guys, let me ask you a question. And I got to ask this question because, yeah, have you ever met someone who was outspoken? You know, they would speak their mind. They wouldn't hold back. They wouldn't cut corners. Have you ever met someone who was outspoken? They would say the quiet things out loud, as they say. Have you ever met someone who was outspoken? Individuals who are viewed as outspoken, they typically speak what's on their mind and they don't hold back. The same can be said for our mental health. It's time to be outspoken about it. It's time to start saying the quiet parts out loud. Yeah, it's time to start saying the quiet parts out loud, because typically when someone has a mental health crisis or a mental health issue or dealing with mental health, it's no longer a secret anyway. So it's time to be outspoken about it. Here's the truth. Whispering about anxiety, depression, or trauma hasn't fixed anything. It's time to get outspoken. Today, we're tearing down why some cultures still treat mental health like a secret, and why your voice matters more than ever, and how to check in with yourself before your voice fades. Oh, and I have some help here today. I did not come by myself, guys. Duh. I got some help here today, ready to drop some truth bombs about mental health. One of our guests is a licensed professional counselor, anger management specialist, and a certified grief specialist with over 20 years of experience. And they also have their own counseling service as well. Our other guest has over 16 years of experience offering their own counseling service as well. Guys, do me a favor. Give a huge TMG welcome to my very special guest, Miss Rakita Jackson and Shalisa Curry. What's up, guys? How y'all doing? Man, I'm so excited to have both of you guys here. Oh, this is not your first time.
No, and I want to say to you, and I'm pretty sure Shalisha shares the sentiment, thank you so much for allowing us the opportunity to share this platform with you, especially during the month of May for Mental Health Awareness Month. Like you said, this is not our first rodeo with you. I appreciate you for taking us on the ride so that we can speak up, speak out, be outspoken when it comes to mental illness and mental health awareness. Because for, like you said in your intro, so many times we try to keep quiet about it or whisper about it. And it's time for us to stop playing and just speak about what, speak our truths.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we I think the last time you guys were on the show, we were talking about how mental health is the family secret. It's the culture secret. Mm-hmm. It's a society secret. And now, guys, when you look at everything that's happened, it's time to just be outspoken. It's, as they say, it's time to begin saying the quiet part out loud. Yeah, yeah. It's time to just get it out there and open, because the only way it's ever going to get better is if it gets exposed. The only way ever going to get healthy about it, if it gets exposed. The only way people are beginning to develop healthy ideas about mental health is we can't keep it a secret. We can't put band-aids on it. We got. I remember one time I scratched my knee up as a kid. All I knew was to put a band-aid on it. And my grandmother said, baby, you got to let some air hit it so it can start. You can't put a band-aid on everything. Some things are going to have to get out there and get exposed. If the air doesn't hit it, get it? It can't get healed. I'm not going to get started, y'all. I told you this was good. Man, we were talking about being outspoken and sounds and saying things and just saying things about mental health. And I begin to think, man, and when we start speaking and talking, we're making sounds. Sounds are being made. Sounds. Every time we talk, there's a sound. There's a sound being made left and right. And I began to think about it. Wait a minute. Life is full of sounds. Sounds at the birth of a child. They come in the world crying. You hear a sound. There's a sound. And we experience sounds throughout our lives. And even when someone passes, there are the sounds of grief of those who will miss them. But one of the ironies of life is that even though life thrives on sounds, we get conditioned to suffer in silence. We've been conditioned to suffer in silence, but life thrives on sound. It thrives on things being said. It thrives on things being heard. Silence equals stigma, and stigma equals suffering. Rakita, that's incredible. Why is it time? Now, I heard you mention this. Why is it time to be outspoken about mental health?
One of the reasons why I say it's time to be outspoken about mental health is because one of the things that we see quite often is that people are ashamed or try to hide that this is even my issue. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I tell people, avoidance does not fix. Man. If anything, avoidance amplifies. So it makes the symptoms louder versus the healing settled. And so when you try to keep things quiet, you're only making them louder because, but the sound that makes then, it's chaos. It's out of control. Mm-hmm. It's to the point, like I said, of no return sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so it's better to speak in the intro than at the exit point.
Man, what you say. It's better to go and get it out there. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Shalisha, let me ask you that same question.
given everything that happens, and you look, and I know you guys have a lot of experience, which is over 16 years of experience. You've heard and seen a lot of individuals. Why would you say that it is time to just be outspoken about mental health?
Well, transparency is key. Just to kind of piggyback off what Rakita said, like when you're silent about it, you can't get the healing, you can't get the help. And what we see is we encounter people when they're mostly in crisis. So all the warning signs have been there. We could have had some early intervention, and now people are in full-blown crisis to where the symptoms are so loud, uncontrollable. Wow. Wow. To where they have to either be hospitalized or they fall within the legal system because they've now gathered offenses, things like that. So it's important to be transparent, but transparency requires you to say, hey, something is not right. And I think that's why people try to remain silent, because they don't want to admit that, hey, something is just not quite right.
Man, listen, I like what both of you said. Transparency requires you to say something. Transparency requires a sound. Transparency requires a sound. So what this tells me, Shalisha and Rakita, my path to healing, or a person's path to healing from mental health, or addressing that rather, begins with a sound. It begins with me saying something, begins with someone speaking up. It may not be that person, because maybe that individual can't. Maybe you're caring for someone, and maybe you're caring for a loved one or a friend, or you're the caregiver for someone, and that healing that they need, that help that they need, can begin with a sound. So my help is in my own mouth.
Yes.
I can't be quiet about it. I got to be outspoken. I got to get, Rakita, you said it's going to be some trauma there. It's going to be some, you know, some things, some stigma is going to be there. So I got to let, and then Shalisha, you said it gets to the point so bad that these symptoms are louder than, that's all you hear is the symptoms. And typically when you both see people, you're hearing them at their loudest.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I want to reiterate also is that when it comes, because you mentioned caregivers and family members, sometimes we find it difficult because we don't want to appear to be the bad guy.
Right.
And so, you know what, I don't want to say anything, or I don't want them upset with me, or I don't want them mad with me. And then it gets to the, so we stay silent. Let me back that up. So we stay silent, or we find excuses, or we attempt to minimize it. Oh, that's just this. Oh, that's just that. And the realization, as Shalisha said, you know, there's indications there before it even gets out of hand.
Correct.
And so the thing is, when something is off, or something is not right, or something is not the norm, it's okay to speak up, because what you may be doing is saving the life of the individual who you are, who you care so much about, or who you're speaking that you care so much about. You know, one of the things, because I also work, well, Shalisha and I both work in Jefferson County, and we see a lot of individuals who end up in the criminal justice system. And so by the time the families call and ask, what can I do? You know, is it possible for me to, you know, get them in the hospital? They don't need to be in the jail. They need to be in the hospital. And I ask the questions. They didn't just wake up this morning needing to be in the hospital. What were we doing prior to? How did we get to this point? And so once we start backtracking and gathering history, what we find out is that, you know, their moods changed. They weren't sleeping. You know, there were different things that built up to it. And now we're at the point where there's a crisis.
Wow.
One of the things that I encourage people, and sometimes I have people who just called beforehand. But one of the things that I tell people is, I know you don't want to, you know, you're concerned that you don't want your family member angry or mad at you. But truth of the matter is, and especially with everything that is going on in the world right now, people are mistaking mental illness symptoms as, you know, aggression, violence, things
correct.
Of that nature.
Right.
And they're not understanding that people are in a mental health crisis, as we see on social media, as we see on the news.
Absolutely.
You know, people are getting killed. Families are calling to, you know, law enforcement for help for their loved one. And then, boom, a life is ending.
Correct.
I will say, though, that law enforcement and society as a whole is picking up the torch and starting to run towards educating people on mental illness, mental health awareness, crisis intervention, things of that nature.
Absolutely.
To help decrease some of these things that's going on. But the thing is, and like you said in your title, and I'm gonna keep going back to it, the fact that we're not speaking out about it, the fact that we're walking around here like we got a mute button that we can just push. Oh, they're here, mute. Oh, we can't let anybody hear that. Mute. No, baby, cut that volume up. Speak your truth, because you speaking the truth about what is going on in your household with the person that you love, so that voice may be the voice that saves them or prevents them from even getting to the point where there is a crisis and there has to be court ordered hospitalization.
Absolutely.
I just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah, it's a lot of times it's those warning signs that Shalisha said, and what you guys both saying, what was happening? I know you saw something before it got here. You had to see something before it got to this place. What, Shalisha, what are some pushbacks? You know, you've over 16 years of experience, so you've seen a lot. You've experienced, now you've heard a lot. You've heard a lot of sounds coming through. You've heard them when they at the best, at the worst, in the middle. What are some pushbacks that you have noticed about how mental health is presented?
I think it's exactly what Rakita said. It's that mute button.
Yeah.
Families want to mute the one that's standing out, the one that's making the most noise. We want to mute them because we don't want to admit that something's not right.
They're trying to get a problem back there.
Right. They want to keep them quiet because they're making too much noise, putting too much attention on the family, making us not seem that we're perfect. I think last time we talked about that imposter syndrome.
Yes.
And so we want things to be better than what they are, but we don't realize that the relationships are key and there's people out here, like the crisis center. There's crisis centers in different areas that can help.
Exactly.
And we're just muting people. That's the pushback that I experienced the most. And I know Rakita can say the same thing. Most of the pushback doesn't come from the client themselves.
Oh, wow.
With the patient, it mostly comes from the family, because the family doesn't want to admit that we may have had some family trauma, which means that I wasn't the perfect mom, or I wasn't the perfect brother, or we don't want to admit that there may have been some things that happened in the family we don't want to talk about.
Mm.
We want to push up on that rug again that we talked about last time.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
most of the pushback comes from family until they have no choice but to say, it is out of my hands. I've had to put them out of my house. They've assaulted me. They've assaulted someone else. They're up all night. I can't get any sleep. Then they start to notice more of the symptoms, but it's been going on months, sometimes even years. And so I always encourage families, hey, you got to pay attention. You got to open up your eyes. Are they not sleeping for several days at a time? Are they pacing? Are they having random speech? Are they talking about things like you're talking about the sun outside? They talking about the grass growing in the backyard around cousin's house. Is their vocabulary off?
Right, right.
Are they not engaged to appropriate? Are Do you see them crying out of the bed? Are they not doing normal activities? Mm. So as family members, we have to pay attention to those warning signs, and we have to be outspoken, and we have to speak up. Hey, I noticed Johnny ain't doing too good. He ain't slept in like 3 days.
Right, right.
So we got to unmute.
So most definitely unmute the button.
Man, like what we have to do when it comes to things like that, we have to make sure that we are being outspoken. And it goes back, guys, to help is in our mouths. It begins with the sounds that we make, and we can't be afraid to do so. For all the things, guys, let me just say this. Silence kills. We know it. Silence kills. There's no way around it. You can't, there's no way you can kind of wish it doesn't, but silence about an issue kills. Suicide rate speaks up. You know, those suicide rates, they go up because the more silent we are, suicide starts talking louder. It starts speaking up. So silence kills. Suicide rates speak up and do not lie. It is what it is. Suppressing pain. Let me say this really good and clear. Suppressing your pain does not make it disappear. Let me help you out. Suppressing your pain does not make it disappear. Cultural gaslighting, which is a thing, and I had to really find out what that really was. Cultural gaslighting is a real true thing. Cultural gaslighting are things like just saying, baby, just pray harder. You don't think these people done pray harder? You don't think that they done pray harder? You think they want to be in that state? They want to feel they, yo, cultural gaslighting, oh, baby, just pray harder. If you was praying hard enough, you wouldn't be. No, absolutely not. Pray and get you some help. Let me help you out. Pray absolutely. And get help. Use both at the same time. Pray and get you some help. Mm-hmm. If you're going to take that route, pray and get help.
It's funny that you say that, Brother Travis, because I have a shirt that says, I talk to God and a therapist. Because as I say all the time, and I'm not ashamed to say it, this is part of my transparency, this is part of my healing. This therapist has a therapist on standby because there are times where I got to get my house in order. Exactly. Not only do I have a therapist, and some therapists may cringe to hear me say this, but I also have a life coach because sometimes I need somebody to get me in check and say, hey, player, get in the game and let's score. And so there's certain things that I got to put in place to so that I can score one for the team. And the team is me. Mm-hmm. And if I can score each point that I get, that's a point that I can share with others to absolutely. Help them heal.
Yes.
And absolutely. So you were saying something about the outspoken. And I wanted to say this before I got it. It's one thing to be outspoken and saying something, mm-hmm. but don't be loud out there and ain't saying nothing.
Nothing at all.
If you gonna speak loud, speak the truth. Speak that there is healing. Speak that you're not the only one out here struggling with mental illness.
Oh man,
you're not alone. Don't be out there. Good, they just crazy. They, you know, they supposed to be on medicine, but they using drugs.
Oh yeah,
they ain't nothing but old drunk. You can keep that. We don't need that spoken. If you're exactly. going to speak loudly, if you're coming to the mic, if you've got the megaphone in your hand, like you, what's the Joe Clark? You know,
yeah,
we won't miss the Clark. We won't do the Mr. Clark. Speak loud, but speak the truth.
Yes. I'm so glad you said that. Everybody nowadays, and that's a great segue to the next point I want to make. With all of that being said, you're talking about Joe Clark and the microphone, social media, and all those things. For all the things social media can do, it has allowed mental health to find a voice. Yes. It has kind of become the megaphone for social media, because you can't go anywhere on social media now. We don't hear people talking about self-care, self-care, mental health, and it has kind of given mental health that stage. It's become the megaphone for mental health, and that is a good thing. So for all the things that social media can do, it has become sort of a megaphone for giving mental health that voice. What do you see, as both of you guys, what do you see as contributing factors that that are allowing different generations and even Gen Z to be more outspoken about mental health? What do you kind of see as some contributing factors, Rakita, that kind of allow different generations to kind of embrace it more and start speaking out more? Even Gen Z, what do you think are some of the contributing factors for that?
Because it's actually putting a face with it. Or putting these faces with it, because mental illness is not just a African-American thing.
Right.
Just a white thing. It's not just an Asian thing. Like, mental illness knocks on all of our
everybody's doors.
Now, the thing is, are you going to say hello or come in? You know, that's up to you. But it's knocking at our door. And again, all it takes is a situation. Yep. To put us in a situation, you know, loss of a loved one, loss of your job, loss of physical things, you know, that like, and just a little transparency, like right now I'm dealing with some things medically and I had to call on my therapist because it got me to a point where I noticed, okay, I'm getting depressed because life as I knew it is now different. And so I had to have my therapist, I had to have my coach to talk to me and be like, okay, things are different now as things are changing. How do you change? So I had to have somebody to help me put things back in perspective. So I'm telling you, all it takes is one incident, one situation to knock on your door. But the question is, who are you going to answer? Are you going to answer to health and wellness? Or are you going to answer to defeat? And I do not choose defeat. I choose victory in every situation, even when it looks bad, because my mental health matters. And part of that means taking care of the whole me, not just, oh my God, I feel so depressed. And why me? Okay.
Yeah.
You feel depressed because of this, that, or the other. Okay. What can we do to help this, that, because we're one machine with many moving parts.
I love that.
So I can't work on one part of me and neglect the other part. And in saying that, people, it is okay. I applaud social media for shining that light and allowing, you know, mental health, mental illness, you know, just to come to the forefront, you know, self-care, teaching us that it's okay not to be okay. But what's not okay, and I said this last year, and I'm gonna keep saying it every time I get the opportunity to get a mic and speak, what's not okay is walking around like I got my stuff together when your stuff strawed all over the middle of the interstate. Like I-59 just got my trash just running all down the interstate. I refuse to let my stuff go down the interstate.
Shalisha, I want your intake on that too. What do you see or think, or maybe some contributing factors to why even other generations begin to embrace it now? Again, like I say, even Gen Z, who people are saying, well, they don't really care about a lot of things, but they are really kind of jumping in on this thing as well and being outspoken about it. What do you kind of see as some of the contributing factors on it?
I always said that this generation was very radical. Yeah. So I think because they can be radical for the wrong things, they also can be radical for health and wellness, like Rakita was saying, and putting their mental health, and they are absolutely outspoken. They don't care what anybody thinks. They are authentically themselves.
Yes.
They don't care if mama don't understand, if she caused all the problems in my life. I'm telling everybody mama caused all the
problems. Don't you start right now.
And they are just radical. And I think when they're passionate about something, they make their voice known. They're loud. I think a lot of the celebrities that they kind of look up to are talking more about anxiety, mental health. A lot of the high profile people in Hollywood going to jail, people are able to start putting stuff out there Like, oh, they are traumatized or they were being groomed. So they start throwing out the mental health words we've been saying for years. And then people start saying, what's that? What's that syndrome? What is that? Oh, wow. Yep. And so you start, the conversation starts to happen. Social media has been the best when it comes to highlighting mental health. I mean, reporting somebody having a full breakdown, it starts the dialogue and it starts to talk about it. And it makes the voice amplified, like we talked about before. I think this generation is just radical and they're just themselves.
I like that. And what I like about it is the fact that because they are radical, they're what that, to me, what that means is this: they're willing to go in places that most generations aren't. They're willing to speak on things that some generations won't. They're willing to say the quiet parts out loud. They're willing to be bold and they're willing to be courageous. So to me, those are some wonderful characteristics of people who are outspoken. With all of this information though, guys, with all of this information, I want to share something. Rakita, you gave some information about how things were, and it's not just a black thing, it's not one race, it's not this, it's not blah, 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 it's not that. I want to share some information with you guys real quick. This is just in the United States. In 2025, one in five Americans experienced a mental illness. Anxiety disorders are most reported, and mental health issues in the U.S. Listen, affecting 42.5 million people. That's just right here in the U.S. A significant number of individuals, including 41% of Americans, deal with an untreated mental illness. Additionally, mental health crises lead to millions of visits to primary care and emergency rooms annually. Guys, I want to read something else to you guys. That's just here in the U.S. In 2025, globally, mental health statistics indicate that around 25% of people worldwide experience mental health issues of varying degrees. Globally, over 792 people have been diagnosed with mental disorders. Guys, when you hear stuff like that, and you hear things like that, it is definitely not one culture. It is definitely not one race. It's definitely not just the people that look like this or the people that look like you. This is worldwide. Listen, worldwide, guys, over 792 million people have been diagnosed with mental disorders. Depression, a leading cause of disability, affects 350 million people worldwide. It is definitely has everybody's address. If it's one in five Americans, that means chances are we know someone. Mm-hmm. We know someone. If you know someone and they won't tell you because they haven't gotten outspoken. And here's what gets me. People will say, well, you can't share everything with everybody. We understand that, but you can share it with somebody. Oh, I know. You wasn't ready for that one. You can't share it with everybody, but you can share it with somebody. You have to find some healthy people that you...
This is an ad by BetterHelp. BetterHelp recently surveyed over 16,000 people and found that while 75% of people believe it's wise to seek support, only 27% of Americans are in therapy, and people stay silent to avoid being judged. BetterHelp has over 10 years of experience matching you with the right therapist, because we're all better with help. Visit BetterHelp.com/stopthestigma for their first ever State of Stigma report, the latest in mental health research.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
You can share with. You got to find. It's right. Time out, guys, for just saying, well, and using that as a crutch to remain there. Rakita, you said you refuse to be defeated. You choose to be victory in everything. It has to become a choice. It has to be our choice to be outspoken. We can no longer say, well, I'm just not going to share with everybody because everybody will tell your business. Well, baby, they already know your business.
Already.
You might as well tell somebody who can help you. Right. Everybody know you now straight. You going to lock yourself up and hum into yourself. Baby, we know something is not right.
Yes.
We know. I have news for you. It is not a well-kept secret. So you may as well. You can't tell everybody, but you can find somebody that you can. Again, taking from your experience, Raquel, what have you found to be more challenging? Those who say they don't need therapy or need help, or those who come to therapy and don't participate?
Good question.
Well, let me put it like this. Because, you know, I say all the time, I'm not the textbook therapist. You know, I'm not the, oh, you know, touchy-feely, woo-woo-woo. I'm not that therapist. And my PSA when people come in my office is, I appreciate you for giving me the space and opportunity to do this thing called life with you. But if you're coming through these doors, then that means that you're coming through ready to heal.
Yep.
So I don't necessarily have the issue with people coming to therapy not ready to participate, because we check that at the door. right. My motto is real to heal.
Right.
Tell people when they do their initial, you know, consult with me, I'm just going to put this out there to you. When you call and talk to Rakita, careful what you tell Rakita, because what you tell Rakita is going to be the areas that I challenge you in.
Yes.
That boot camp workout fitness coach when it comes to mental health. Now, you know, my own stuff, but when it comes to mental health, I'm that person like, give me one more. Give me one more.
You yes.
know, what do we do that for? You know,
she is, man. That. She is.
The why. Like, I'm the person. And when you said, when you've talked to somebody, you know, find somebody to talk to. But make sure that somebody you find to talk to is somebody who is professional.
Exactly.
Somebody who is trained in the field. Not, you know, oh, that's my best friend from high school. We've been friends, you know, our whole life. And now she's changing. Baby, it's called life. Find you a professional to talk to.
Maybe somebody you've been friends because you had the same problem.
Right. And so, you know.
That part.
So I think most of it, though, is just the people feeling like therapy's not for me, or I don't need any help. Baby, we all need some help. Everybody in the sound of my voice, all your streamers worldwide, everybody needs some help.
Absolutely, man.
And so the thing is, pick up at our church, there's this song that was playing. What it say? Lace up your boots, put on your backpack. It's time to ride. We gonna lace up our backpack. We gonna ride, but while we riding, we coming out the car with the megaphone. Hey, ride with me. We going to get help. You know what I'm saying? So I'm lacing up boots, putting on a backpack, grabbing the megaphone, and I'm going to shout out somebody.
Oh man, I like that, Lisa. You know, again, I got to ask you this question too, because I need your intake on this too, man. So, what has you been over 16 years of experience? You've encountered all kinds of people, and you've had people come to that door or call you those initial consultations. And I noticed when people have the initial consultation, and that's because they're feeling something strong emotions at that time. So, when they contact you, it's strong emotions, and people will listen, people will say anything when they have strong emotions because they're in the moment. In that moment, I want my help. In that moment, I want help. What they really want is those strong emotions gone. That's all they really want. You know,
yes.
You're not guaranteed. You talk to them that initial consultation, and you're not guaranteed they'll come back. You're not guaranteed you'll see them again. What seems to be your greatest thing, a challenge? Is it those who coming and don't want to participate, or those who say, I'm good, I don't need no help. I'll pray, I'll go to church, or I'll just read a book or two, you know, I just need to relax, you know, I'm good. What seems to be had been your biggest challenge for people?
Really the ones that's in denial. They say they don't need therapy. Because the people that have already signed up, they've already your copay is still being processed, so you don't have that issue with people because they already signed up. Like, it's the same amount whether you sit here and talk or not. You know, like, utilize your money. Rakita always has this thing, like, people put the most in when they're kind of paying for services.
Yep, they do. They do.
Kind of pay for it. So I don't have that issue once they walk through the door. It's the people who I'm kind of trying to coach or encourage, hey, right, to, you know, reach out to the crisis center. Hey, you can go reach out to Ross, you know, encouraging them that therapy, you know, works. You had touched on something about suicide. And in Alabama, just Alabama alone, and I know your podcast is worldwide, but in Alabama, where we live, it was 840 people,
wow,
who attempted suicide in 2022. And that rate increased by 43% over the last 20 years.
Wow.
And so it's very important for us to be outspoken, to know those warning signs, watch Absolutely. Those warning signs, Absolutely. And move past the denial. You know, we have to take the blinders off. You know, sometimes we don't want to see, we don't want to hear.
No, we don't want to see it.
We're muting things. You know, we have to take it off because it's actually real. You know, family members are not functioning day to day to their best capacity. So I think the hardest part is those who need therapy, mm-hmm, but won't go.
Won't go.
Because they feel like they can just pray it away. I say when mental health and faith meets, oh my God, it's amazing because now
I know, right?
Right, because you have a network. Like, you can bring your church into your care plan. See? You can let your therapist know, hey, I'm an active member of my church. Let your church know, let your organization know, hey, I'm struggling. These are the things I'm struggling with. These are the things I'm working on, and allow them to support you. They can pray while you take your medicine. See? My boss always said, when you're dealing with something, you find those scriptures. If you're a person who highly, you know, into the church and into certain things, like you like a lot of encouragement, motivation, find those things that encourage you and promote right. your healing right. while you're taking your medication.
See?
Take your medication and speak whatever positive word that you want to speak about your situation. Let them meet together. Your mental health and your faith can meet. Wow. It doesn't have to be separate things.
And that goes back to what we were talking about earlier about those cultural gaslightings. You know, typically mm-hmm. those two worlds never supposed to meet. They're always supposed to be separate, always supposed to never meet. It's always a divide. And let me help you out. And that divide, that space in between your faith and your mental health, that space, that's where everybody's messed up. That's where everybody's living. Everybody is living in between that space. And it is that space where the struggle is happening. It is that space where people have to see counselors and therapists like you. When you two see people, you're seeing them in that space. You're seeing them right there where they could have gotten help and they should have been helped, but they're right there in that space. And now that they're in that space, as you said earlier, Rakita, now they're in the hospital, or you said now they have charges and they're going to jail. It's in that space where the struggle is. And if you are listening right now to this show, you may see or feel that you are in that space. You may feel like, man, I don't know which way to go. I don't know over here or over there. They're telling you, you are in a good spot to get the help that you need. You're in that space, because that's when things become the loudest. That's when things become the loudest, and your neighbors find out, your job find out, and they'll come to you. You need some help and give you some time off, or you know, because it has now become loud. When you don't become outspoken about your own mental health, it will begin to speak for you. And you want to get ahead of the narrative that it's saying, so it won't speak for you. So, guys, I'm loving this. I'm absolutely loving this. I am. Rakita, 20 years of experience. What? And I know we hear the word toxic a lot, so I'm going to throw this out there. I'm going to throw my toxic stuff out there. What is one of the most toxic mental health myths? Because I want to break some of these myths so we can. Because part of what is speaking are these myths. Part of what's really speaking out there are myths about mental health. And they aren't helpful. So what is one of the most toxic mental health myths that you can remember hearing or you've heard from your clients?
I'm going to piggyback off where you guys were talking about faith and mental health meets.
Uh-huh.
And this is one of the things that I always say when I go out and I speak at churches, is that a lot of times people, church folks, religious folks, will make people feel like that their faith is flawed when they have a mental illness or, you know, something is going on. Make them feel like, you know, they're not praying enough. Or, you know, something's going, you know, but you got to take that to the Lord in prayer, and you got to do this and you got to do that. Well, you know what? My Bible says that there's some, you know, they identify Jesus as certain things as he's going through and he's healing. And one of the things that they call him is a wonderful counselor.
There you go.
And wonderful. That means that he left that gift behind in the earth for people like me and Sister Shalisha to counsel his people and to help them heal. So church folks, religious folks, keep your mouth off of Jesus, folks, because he said he is the wonderful counselor. He left that gift in the earth for us to continue to counsel
exactly
his people to a place of healing. So that fact, you know, that myth that, oh, you just don't pray enough. That's
right,
why you're
right.
Afraid. That's why you're anxious. You know, they like to throw those scriptures out. And the scriptures are a reference to help you get to a place of healing, not tools to help you beat yourself down or feel defeated because you're not at a certain point that everybody thinks that you should be at. So that's always the myth that I try to just disperse and just be like, oh, no, that let's get rid of that one. Because my faith is not flawed because I have a mental illness.
My gosh.
Because my faith is not flawed if I have cancer. My faith is not flawed if I have diabetes. My faith is not flawed if I have high blood pressure. Yes. So why is my faith flawed? Because I have a disorder of the brain.
You just freed thousands of people with that statement right there. You just freed thousands of people making that statement. It's no different if your arm is broken or your leg is broken. Does that mean your faith is flawed? You know, if you had enough faith, your arm wouldn't be broken. Bro, no. I fell and broke my arm. I fell and broke my leg. Right. It has nothing to do with that. And Rakita, man, you hit the nail on the head when it comes in regards to that, because we have a tendency to be specific when it comes to certain things. You know, you got faith. If this is it, you don't have faith, if you don't have that, and you was so, that was so on the hill, you really just kind of freed thousands of people with that one. You really did, because gave people a different perspective to look at. Say, well, you know what? If a person has cancer, we don't say they don't have faith. We just say they need to, right, you know, praying for the healing or something gets better in their life, or if they lose a job or something. Why is it there's something from the mental health? It's all because, you know, you don't have enough faith, blah, blah, blah. And just the very thought of asking someone when you do feel like you're mentally challenged, mental health is challenged, and you go, oh, well, let me not do that. Let me not do that. Let me just go find five more scriptures. How about you take them five scriptures to that therapist down the road? Because when you go to a therapist, I see a therapist. And when you go to a therapist, the first thing they're going to say is, you know, I'm going to ask you some questions. One of the questions, you know, what's your faith like? What do you believe? And they will cultivate mm-hmm. that around that. So, man, nail on the head, Rakita. Nail on the head. Mm-hmm. Same question for you, Shalisha. Yes. I want to know that same question for you, for your perspective, guys, as well. And the reason I'm asking guys both of them the same questions, one has 20 years of experience. One has 16 years of experience. There are a lot of different perspectives. So I want to tap into mm-hmm. both perspectives for each of you. Same question for you, Shalisha. What do you have found maybe some of those toxic myths when you see people?
Well, mine is more so with medication. A
lot. Like, wait, Lord.
I am your medication pusher, if I can say it like that. Because I have seen how medication can transform someone from being totally psychotic to them being like they never wow. had any issues at all. The things that I hear a lot is they are not the same and the medicine makes them be different. And so we're going to skip a couple days. And so I'm like, well, what is the outcome? Or I don't want to be a guinea mm-hmm. pig. Well, you have to know what medicine works for you. So if something's not working, you have to be outspoken and you have to tell your doctor, hey, this medicine makes me feel dizzy. This medicine makes me feel hungry. This medicine makes me feel zombie-like. Whatever words you can describe, I always tell my clients, grab a notebook. Let's write it down because sometimes when we're in those doctor's offices,
yeah, we forget. Right.
So let's go ahead and let's write it down. What kind of symptoms you're having? Because you need to take that because you don't need to stop taking your medicine. We need to just find what medicine works for you. So I try to dispel all of those myths. What I see it mostly is in African-American men. For some reason, they don't like to take medicine. I think it's a mindset, well, you don't want to feel like something is holding you down. And you have to take something every day, every day, every day, every day. But it's like, hey, you eat every day. Pop it in before you have that Mountain Dew or that Coca-Cola, that water or that power shake before you go work out. So just kind of dispelling those myths that it's making you different or I don't like the way it's making me feel. You got to be outspoken. You got to speak out about those things to find the medication that works for you. Now, everybody don't need medicine, but if your doctor recommends medicine, that means you need medicine. So saying I don't need medicine and I'm hearing
you
voices.
Need some medicine.
I want to reiterate what you said also. You said if your doctor says you need medicine, not your homeboy, your homegirl from down the road. Girl, I take this because I have anxiety. This helps my depression. Baby, let the doctor get, because they ain't got no schooling. No, it's David. Mm-mm. So go to your doctor. And the thing is, even the uninsured, there are resources in your area. Even with mental health care,
Amen.
There Amen. Are resources in your area where you can go and get the yes. care that you need. And sometimes they are at low to no cost.
Exactly.
It just goes to opening your mouth with your megaphone, being outspoken, and say what you need. Stop pressing the mute button, people. Pick up your megaphone. But then lace up your boots, put on your backpack, grab your megaphone. I need help. And help will come.
You know, we talked about earlier that mental health is not just for one culture, not for one people. I read some numbers that showed around the world, 70.9 million people. So when we say things like therapy is for other people, those numbers just prove that wrong. They just bust that myth. Therapy is not for other people. It's for individuals who are experiencing those mental illnesses and have those mental health crises. In which ways do you help individuals become outspoken about things that they are feeling, because their healing is directly related to or connected to how they may be feeling, Rakita. So we talk about your favorite thing is you got to be real in order to heal. You got to be real in order to be healed. And so in what I want to know is, in which ways do you help individuals become outspoken about what they're feeling? Because their healing is directly connected to them being honest about the way they feel.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I do coming out the starting gate, like we inventory this list. Mm-hmm. Tell me some things that you are dealing with, that you are experiencing.
Right.
You know, not just what brought you, but like truly, what does that feel like? And one of the things that I tell my peoples, because as I say, and you've probably heard me say before, I don't have clients. I have peoples.
Your peoples. That's right.
I tell my people, you can't come to Rakita and say, I don't know. Don't come to me and be like, but I don't know. Lies. I'm going to call you on it.
You do know.
The truth of the matter is, most of the time, we do know what's going on, but we also know if I acknowledge that, then that means that can no longer be something that I hold on to.
Exactly.
Because acknowledging it is decompressing it, letting some of that pressure out of it so that my freedom, my healing can begin. And so that's the thing, just creating that space and allowing them the opportunity to even identify and speak their truths about this is what I'm experiencing. Now help me to figure out what the healing looks like, or exactly. What, you know, how we can even start the journey.
Right.
Okay, Shalisa, same question for you. What are some things that you do to help people become outspoken about the way they're feeling? Begin, because the way they're honest about the way they feel, it helps that journey to being healed. What are some things that you do?
Well, I love to validate people's feelings. So I think validating their voice, letting them know that they have a voice. I work with a lot of young people. And so they like to rap. They like to write poems. So I say, hey, put that in a rap.
I like that.
And you better
You better be spitting them bars right. You better hit them.
You better speak those bars. I encourage them to keep speaking. Keep talking. Someone is listening. And so I just validate their feelings, validate their voice, let them know that they have a voice. Because sometimes people don't realize that their voice is valuable because people have told them, shh, be quiet. You know, when you're teaching your kids, you're saying, shh, be quiet. Be quiet, be quiet. And I think I may have said this last time on the podcast. I noticed my son would always come and stand in my room. I'm like, why are you in here? Like, what do you want? He was just staying. So I realized that when he's coming in my room, when he's standing here, he has something that he wants to say. So I put down everything that I got going on. I could be talking on the phone, I could be watching TV. It stops in that moment to give him that moment to speak out, speak up. What do you want to talk about? So I validate his feelings. So I do the same with my clients. How you feeling? You can't tell me you don't know, and you can't tell me good. Because I always say, if y'all ever seen the depression commercial where the lady has the sign, has
a smiling face on it.
You good is that smiley face, and behind it is all of the sadness. So you can't use good with me. Just like Rakita said, you can't use I don't know. You can't use good. Because good is one of those words that we just throw out there.
Leave us alone.
Oh, I'm good. So I validate people's feelings. I create the safe space so that they know, hey, what happens here stays here. Rakita always say, your tea is safe with me. So I encourage them, hey, this is your safe space. You can speak freely. You don't have to use all the correct words. You don't have to say things in the right way. Say it exactly how you feel.
I love that.
So just validating
the feelings. And a lot of people, a lot of things... That's a great way to kind of address things from the beginning, because a lot of people would de-escalate emotionally if their feelings were validated and they felt like they were heard. If they felt like they had a safe space to speak, it could help de-escalate a lot of situations. A lot of people would just come off that cliff, the emotional cliff, so to speak, because they feel like I'm being heard. And let me just say this. Maybe you're listening right now, wherever you are. Maybe you're watching right now and you feel like you just haven't been heard. Maybe all the emotions that you're feeling, maybe everything that you're feeling right now, is all because you don't feel you've been heard. You were 10 years old and nobody heard you. You were 8 years old and somebody kept telling you, shh. You were 20 years old and they kept telling you, shh. And right now, I want to go ahead and just let you know to be going to give you your voice back. Yeah, we want to give you your voice back. We began this show and I was talking about, I said, life thrives on sound. If life happens with sound. When there is sound at the birth. There is sound at birth and there's sound at the end of life. So life happens in sound. We listen to TV, we watch movies, we hear laughter. Life thrives on sound. And right now, if you feel it like yet your voice, your sound has been taken away, let me tell you right now, your sound matters. It may be different than somebody else's, but your sound matters. It may not sound like somebody else. Your sound matters. This is the last day that somebody takes away your sound. This is the last day someone said takes away your sound. This is the last day something you did takes away your sound. Your sound matters. As a matter of fact, you know that I'm a huge component of positive confession. You should just begin to say it every day when you wake up before your feet hit the floor and while you are stretching and yawning. My sound matters. My sound, as a matter of fact, those who are watching, go ahead and type it in chat. My sound matters. You might be driving in your car. My sound matters. Don't ever let anyone take your sound. Where do each of your services play a role in your client's path? Or creative, where does your service that you offer, where does it play a role in your people's path?
I think that it helps them to identify the roadmap to their recovery.
That's good.
Because we all need direction.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And sometimes we just need help identifying where we need directions to. We know that there's a destination that we want to reach, but we just need to know how to get there. And sometimes it ain't even the quickest route to get there. But the route that will bring me the most bang for my buck, the route that will allow me to see more on my journey.
Uh-huh.
So just helping people to identify which direction to go on their journey.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Shalisha, on you, same question. Where does your services that you offer, where does it help on that path?
In that in-between time, when you want to rebuild, you don't know how to rebuild. We start with the foundational principles. What happened? What destroyed it initially? How do you want to rebuild it? What does it look like? What do you want it to look like? Not what mama wanted to look like, not what husband wanted to look like, not what daddy wanted to look like. What do you want it to look like? So just starting people in that in-between time that we talked about, when they may feel stuck, they may feel like they don't have a voice, they may feel like they lost their voice. Just in that in-between time, what do you want it to look like? What is your new beginning?
Guys, I want to put something up here real quick. Let me go ahead and do this. This is going to be Rakita. This is your website right here. Second Chances, Better Choices Counseling and Services. This is your website. It's a very pretty one. It's like, I like butterflies. I'm sorry. this is your website here. Guys, you can go to secondchancesbetterchoices.com. Second Chances. And that's with the number 2, by the way. Not spelled out. It's the number 2, secondchancesbetterchoices.com. And you can go here and you can see what Rakita's services are and what they do offer here, guys. And all these different things, treatment specializing in this. Look at this, ADHD, anger, anxiety, codependency, communication, crisis intervention, depression, divorce, drug and alcohol issues, grief and loss, post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD, what is most commonly known as, re-entry counseling. And Rakita, we, and I know you do as well, Shalisha, so we're going to talk about that on another show, re-entry counseling, because that's very important. That's when someone's, we'll go into that later on. Self-esteem, issues, stress management. So all the great things you can talk about, ways they can be contacted here. You can go on there. So there's some very, very good things there everybody can talk about. Now, also, I also have your information, your website as well on here, Miss Shalisha. So let me go ahead and pop your information on here as well. Let me go ahead and get you slide up right there. There we go. There we go. Got your face all up there. There we go. And let's go ahead and click on your homepage. And there we go. Right there. RBM Counseling Wellness Center. All the different things that they offer here. The services. There we go. Alcohol and drug assessment. Oh, my gosh. That's big, especially in the South. And I say that because regionally, it could be more. And I know in the South, is a huge thing in the South. Alcohol and drug assessment, mental health counseling, all these wonderful things here that you guys talk about meet our court mandated treatment requirements. So when they've been mandated by the court to do that, you can do that. So all some great things that each one of you do. And guys, I'm gonna put up your information. Here you go. Here's the information right here, guys. For those who are watching, Second Chances, Better Choices Counseling. They're located right here in Birmingham, Alabama, 1025 23rd Street South, Suite 22320. Right there, phone number 205-775-7718. Again, Second Chances, Better Choices Counseling. If you want to speak with Rakita, 1025 23rd Street South, Suite 320 here in Birmingham, Alabama, 35205. Phone number 205-775-7718. Or you can visit Second Chances. That's with the number 2, secondchancesbetterchoices.com. And if you want to speak with Shalisha, RBM Counseling and Wellness Center, 1025 23rd Street South, Birmingham, Alabama, 35205. Phone number 205-530-5720. Again, 1025 23rd Street South, Birmingham, Alabama. Guys, 205-530-5720, or visit rbmcounseling.com. There you go, guys. So I got to get out of here, guys. But before we do, I got to ask you guys this question, because I always ask all of my guests this question. And I'll begin with you, Shalisha, since I got you right here. What is something you want to share with the audience to encourage them to prioritize their mental health and to seek or to be outspoken about the way they feel and when they need it?
I want to say you have a voice. Someone is listening. We are listening. There is help in your area. Keep speaking. Don't be silent until you get the help that you need. Keep speaking, keep speaking. Your voice, your sound.
I love
matters.
It. I love it. All right, Rakita, you know I got to holler at you now. Talk to me, girl. Talk to me. What is something that you would say to someone?
You got to be real to heal.
See?
It's just as simple as that. And if we want to take it on a spiritual journey, we can also add to that. And I borrowed this from Pastor Thomas Beavers.
Uh-huh.
He oh, came man,
yeah,
Dr.
Beavers,
and he said, God can't heal what we're not ready to reveal.
Yes.
And I put that as, God is a perfect gentleman. He already knows, but he wants us to use, like Shalisha said, we have a voice. So he gives us grace to use our voice so that we can be real to heal.
And see, I love that. I always have believed that statement by Dr. Beavers, that God won't heal what we won't reveal. And whatever we try to cover up, God can't bring it out. We can't get delivered from or help with what we want to cover up. Guys, thank you both for being a part of the show today. I am so excited we did this show. Thank you, guys. You know that each month, every May, we're going to do this. But, guys, we're going to get together for another show. I want to talk about that re-entry counseling because it's important. Mm-hmm. It has to do with a lot of different things that we're dealing with here in society. So, guys, don't go nowhere. Don't leave yet. Keep that cup of coffee right there, that cup of juice. Now, I know, Shalisa, your son's in the background listening. He better be glad I didn't grab him on this camera. I know he is. So, y'all hold off what you got right there. Be right back. Don't you go nowhere. Guys, this has been an absolutely amazing show, and I'm so glad you shared it with me. But being outspoken about mental health isn't oversharing. People think, oh, I just shared too much. So being outspoken about your mental health is not oversharing. It's freeing. Freeing yourself from the shame, freeing yourself from the disappointment, freeing yourself from all of the stigma. This week, guys, I dare you. So I want to place a dare to all my daredevil people. I want to give you a dare, okay? I dare you to say one true thing about your mental health out loud. Be outspoken. Say one true thing about your mental health out loud, even if it's just record it on your phone, right? Even if you just record it on your phone. And then after 1 week, I want you to check in with what you said and see if you feel the same way. So I want you to record something about your mental health. Be honest about it. Then after 1 week, see if you are still feeling the same way. If you are, you may need to reach out to someone like Rakita or to Shalisha or to someone else. Because if you still feel that same way after 1 week, it may be start becoming overwhelming for you and out of hand. Because the more we normalize honesty, the less power stigma has. Now, I just want to know who's ready to stop whispering and start getting better. We talked about being outspoken. Outspoken typically to some people means they talk a lot, but to me, outspoken means someone who is courageous and someone who is bold. So it's time to be courageous and bold about our mental health. Guys, I gotta get out of here. But as always, in parting, you can tune in right here each Thursday, 6:30 p.m. Central, 7:30 p.m. Eastern to listen to the show. Or you can stream on your favorite listening platform like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, Apple Music, and so many more. Man, I got to get out of here. But as always, in parting, if you're going to tell me something, then tell me something good. I'm out of here, y'all. I got to go.
Are you looking for legit ways to make extra money? Our friends at The Side Hustle Show have put together this cool free 60-second quiz to help you do just that. All you got to do is go to hustle.show. You can do it right from your phone. Answer a few short multiple choice questions, and it'll recommend a few episodes of the hit Side Hustle Show podcast to start with. You can add your personalized Side Hustle Show playlist to your device, learn what works, and start making more money today. Again, that's at hustle.show or follow the award-winning Side Hustle Show in your favorite podcast app.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.